This episode of The Family Gamers is sponsored by Bellwether Games. Check out Bellwether Games online at bellwethergames.com and stay tuned for their Kickstarter for the latest expansion to their best-selling game, Antidote. Antidote Lab Alliance, coming to Kickstarter this March.
Hello, and welcome to episode 35 of the Family Gamers Podcast.
Hey, everybody. We are here, and once again, we are excited to be recording a podcast to bring some fun and useful information
Hooray.
To you, the listeners.
We like fun.
I am your host, Andrew.
And I'm Anitra.
And we are the Family Gamers. So, it's been a little while since we really got to talk about what we've been doing, because last week we got the chance to have Dennis Hoyle on the show, and that was good fun.
And that was good.
So... Yeah. We actually teased, I think, last week that a few of our episodes are going to be sponsored by Bellwether Games.
And guess what?
This is the first one, so that's pretty awesome.
This is one.
So we've been doing a lot of stuff. We took a trip out to Colorado.
Yeah, it was good time.
Spent some time with a bunch of adults.
It was so nice.
No children. It was wonderful.
Adults and no children.
Yeah. So
yeah, it was a nice break, but I was also nice. It was good to come home again too.
It was surprisingly difficult to leave our at least our littlest one.
Kind of, yeah.
But we got a
weepy phone call or two.
We're a little recharged, I guess.
A little bit.
And we're good to go. So we played a lot of games over the weekend.
One of the nicest things about that weekend away is we got to play adult games without having to worry about children. And how to cope with children being around while we wanted to play adult games.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to play more games.
We did. Play more games.
Play more games.
So what kinds of things did we play?
We played some of our favorite party games, Anomia.
Mm-hmm. We've talked about Anomia a lot.
And
we love
Duple.
Anomia.
Yep. We even
played Anomia in the airport waiting for our flight.
That was pretty fun.
Which was
honestly
awesome, because
we talked a lot of people into playing who might not normally be into it.
Yeah, I think I'm thinking of one guy in particular who was like, all right, fine, I'll play this dumb game. But then he was like, I like this game.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of fun. And you can play that game without a table.
Yes, as we have now proven to ourselves. Well, you just need a place for a central pile,
mm-hmm.
and then everybody can hold
you
their
face-up
cards.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
So as long as everybody can see them.
Yep, good fun.
Yep. We also played a version of the pen and paper game Celebrity.
So had you played this game before?
Not with this particular variation of the rules, but I was aware of
it. So check this out, because this was awesome. So everybody at the table, there must have been like eight people.
Yeah,
I think it was eight people. We had like one person rotate in and out and stuff.
Yeah.
And so we kind of split into two teams, and everybody wrote four celebrities. They had four pieces of paper. They wrote one celebrity on each one.
Yep.
And everybody folded all of them up and put them in a cup.
And by celebrity, we mean a well-known person.
Right.
Alive, dead, fictional, real, didn't matter.
Right. Somebody that people would know. And then what we did was we went around the circle, and the first thing that we had to do was just kind of describe, there was somebody who would have to describe that person, and the other people on their team would have to guess who it was.
Yep.
So that's it. Descriptions.
And we... For each person's turn, you had a minute timer.
Yep. You had 1 minute, and you kind of went through as many as you could in that 1 minute.
Yeah.
Once you got through all of the people,
the entire pile of papers,
and it was like cumulative. So, you know, whatever you got through, when you passed the cup to the next person who was on the other team, they only had what was left, and so on and so on.
Yeah. So we gradually took papers out until the cup was empty.
So once you got through everybody, took all the papers again, you put them back in the cup, and then you went around the circle again. But this time, it was charades.
Yes. So this time, you couldn't talk at all.
Right.
However, you know, you have a little bit of a leg up in that the people on your team have heard this name before in the previous round.
Right. So it's the same group. It's not like you wrote new celebrities. So you do that. You do that that time around. You go around with the same celebrities, and then you do it a third time, and you can only say one word.
Yeah. Oh man. And this was tough, because as the people who showed us the game said, you better pick that one word really carefully, because if your teammates don't get it, you're just gonna sit there for a minute and stare at them,
right?
And they're not gonna get it.
And it happened on occasion where we'd have a minute go by and we'd get no points, and it's just like everybody felt
kind of demoralizing.
Oh. Like,
but it makes you want to try harder at the same
time. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, super easy, super cheap, super freeform game. I mean, you literally, you can play it with 10 people and a sheet of paper and a couple of pens.
And a
cup.
And a hat or a cup or something. Yeah.
So that game was actually way more. I was like, you know what? I'll be a good sport. I know we brought all the awesome games, but I'll be a good sport and I'll kind of play this game.
It was so much fun.
It was a lot of fun. I was really, 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 really enjoying that.
Before we get into the other games we played, just a little teaser. That leads well into what our topic for tonight is.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about budget-friendly games this week. So
that is the ultimate budget-friendly game. It really is. You just need pens and paper.
Yep.
But we played other games. We played some non-party games. We played some serious board games.
Yes. We played a very, very thinky adult, not adult like adult, but adult like... Like serious,
like you like need plus. You need serious brain power to play this game.
Called Zolk'in.
Yeah, I don't even know how you're supposed to say
Zolk'in,
it.
Zolk'in, the Mayan Zolk'in calendar,
or something. Zolk'in.
I have seen this game around a lot, and I really wanted to try it out because it's a worker placement game, like a Stone Age or like an Agricola or something like that.
Yeah.
But the thing that's really cool about this game is that there's five gears on the board that are all connected by a large
central gear, which is representing the calendar and the months
That's
of the calendar.
Mayan calendar.
So each round is supposed to be like a month or something in the calendar.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a unit of time.
I don't know how many months there are in the Mayan calendar.
I don't know.
It's a unit of time.
But so when everybody's taking their turns and the round is over, then you move the big gear one notch.
Right.
And so it moves all the little gears as well. And so all the little gears are set up so that the longer you can keep your worker on there, sort of the better rewards you can get.
Right.
But if you miss the spot you wanted, you are out of luck.
Well, you can either wait until you get to the
end. Or you can wait a whole bunch more time.
Or you can pay a little bit to reach back, but you have to pay. But the cool thing about this is, unlike a normal worker placement game where you're like, okay, I'm going to place my worker, and then once all the workers are placed, I'm going to get my stuff, and I'm going to move on.
Mm-hmm.
You really have to like plan this thing out, and because you have to load these workers up, because you might be committing to them being on a gear for like three or four turns.
Well, and the other...
And every turn, you have to place something or pick up something.
I was going to say, that was the other part of the mechanic, is you're not allowed to place workers and pick up workers in the same turn.
And you always have to do something.
Yes.
So it's not like you can place and be like, no, I'm good, I'm waiting a couple of rounds. You have to figure it out in such a way that you're either placing something or picking something up. And so there's a lot of multi-level planning going on.
I enjoyed the game, but I was not very good at the mental gymnastics required.
Well, you only played it once.
True.
I mean, that's
I might get better at it.
And we've talked a lot about Board Game Arena, the online board game site, and it has Zolk'in on it.
Mm.
So I would say definitely check that out, because it's one of those games that has a lot of fiddly bits, so it might be even easier to play online.
Mm, cool.
But very cool game.
Neat. Another fairly serious game we played was New York 1901.
Mm-hmm.
We got to christen our brand new
copy of it. Yeah, we talked about this game a little bit before on the show. It's not quite as heavy as Zolk'in is. It's like sort of at the same complexity as like a Ticket to Ride or something like that.
Yeah, it's something that a 8 to 10 year old could play. They just might not necessarily do very well, but they could play it and do okay. So that was fun.
One other thing we did was we watched Super Bowl last night.
We did.
Which was a lot of fun. And while we were watching the Super Bowl, all of our kids, because we had a family over, some friends of ours, and all of our kids went off and played a bunch of really loud games.
Yes.
It was really loud.
Yes. I was really entertained that the game they were loudest with was we've talked about it before. Sure. It's a cooperative game.
We sent them off to another room because they were like screaming at the top of their
because they were like, oh, yeah, we did it.
It was crazy.
It was pretty awesome.
It was so loud I couldn't hear the television. And they weren't in the same room.
I know. But they played other games too. Besides, they played Don't Break the Ice. They played Apples to Apples Jr.
Mm-hmm.
It is surprising to me that both of those were quieter than
a game where you're supposed to be hitting things.
In fact, I think Don't Break the Ice may have been the quietest game of the night. The two kindergartners played a good bit of Maze Racers,
which is
back
fun.
And forth, trading the boards. And the two kindergartners also, near the end of the night, when we forced everyone to sit down and stop running around like maniacs, the two kindergartners played Build a Robot. as a way to kind of wind down and like give them something to do.
Right. Build a Robot being the, you know, 21st century version / superior version of Cootie.
Superior version of Cootie.
Yeah.
Not so much 21st century. They still make Cootie. So, yeah. So that was nice. We have also been playing one other kid-oriented game this week.
Mm-hmm. It's a game we got in for review.
Yep, game we just got in for review. By the time this show goes up, the review should be on our website.
Mm-hmm.
Game is called Monsters in the Elevator by one of my favorite local publishers, Yaya Play.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you've talked about this game a lot. We actually mentioned this game.
Fig.
Yeah, when we went to Boston Fig last year, we saw this game. We mentioned it. It actually won Best Family Game.
That's right, it did.
At Boston Fig last year.
And I guess that catapulted Jason Weiser, the guy who created the game, to end up entering it in a Hasbro board game contest.
Well, Hasbro was there. Hasbro was at Boston Fig. And so they were soliciting for this contest.
Yep. But it is now one of the five finalists in this Hasbro board game contest.
Which is awesome.
So in case you don't go read the review, I'm going to tell you right now, it has an Indiegogo campaign going through February 12th. It's $15 for one copy of the game.
Which is not bad.
Which is reasonable.
I mean, it's basically, the game is basically a deck of cards.
Yeah. The game is a deck of cards. It's a math-based cooperative game. It teaches counting by tens. A little bit of factoring by 2 and 3 and 4.
A little bit of addition and subtraction, and I think a tiny bit of multiplication.
A little bit of addition and subtraction. Well, multiplication, that's what I mean by factoring.
Okay, sure.
She
uses fancy terms.
Yeah, well, and the concept of less than greater than is also in the game. So it's cute. It's fun. It's really easy to adjust the difficulty up or down within the concept.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it is a... It is an educational game that delivers on both education and fun, which is nice to see.
Cool.
If it sounds interesting, read our review. Go check out the Indiegogo campaign. And I'm really rooting for them that they get the Hasbro prize.
That would be really
cool. Hasbro prize.
That would be really cool to see.
Yeah.
So we're actually trying to put a time together that we can get Jason Weiser on the show also.
Yes, that would be cool.
So that's going to be cool. He's a super laid-back, chill guy. So I like Jason a lot.
All right, so we sped through a lot faster than we do.
Right.
What we played this
right.
week.
Oh, I didn't mention we were in Colorado, so I played the Don't Kill Myself skiing game.
Yeah.
And
you won.
And I won. I'm not dead.
You're not dead.
No, so a lot of people that we know have seen this already, but I will share it with our listening audience, and we will put a picture
in the show notes
on Facebook.
Oh, on Facebook.
On the Facebook page. I have one of those inflatable T-Rex costumes.
Yes, you do. That's the kind of person you are.
So I put it in my backpack as I was riding the lift up. Well, I mean, I guess it was in my backpack when I you know, put the skis on and stuff.
Yeah, you put it on before
that. Yeah, and so we were up at the... Well, not really the summit, but we'll call it the summit just for the sake of argument. And before we skied... We skied down a little bit, me and a friend. And then I kind of pulled off to the side and I put the T-Rex costume on.
And then you put your skis back on.
And then I actually had to take my ski boots off. So it was like, I didn't want anything
awkward.
To fall because I was in my, you know, socks.
Yeah.
It would get cold. But so I put I put the T-Rex costume on and I had the belt clip. I got the whole thing inflated. And before I even started, a bunch of people pulled over. They're like, dude, we got to get a picture with you. This is ridiculous. So I have some video of me skiing in the T-Rex outfit. We're going to do some editing on the video. So it's not, you know, a minute and a half of waiting for 15 seconds of T-Rex skiing. But we'll put a picture up on Facebook because...
you deserve to see this, our listening audience.
It's tremendous. And honestly, this picture is... It's a fantastic
picture.
It's
well-framed.
Even if I was just standing there.
Your friend who took the pictures and video did an excellent job.
Right. So if you are curious what I look like in a T-Rex outfit on skis in Colorado... On a beautiful day. It was a beautiful day.
Freezing cold. Like, really, really
single
cold.
Single digits.
Yeah, but beautiful.
Definitely check out the Facebook page, facebook.com/familygamersAA.
And with that, we will take a break.
Yeah, we're going to take a quick break, and then we will come back, and we will talk about budget-friendly games.
And a giveaway.
And a giveaway.
Yay!
Giveaways are budget-friendly for you.
Yes.
We'll be right back.
And we're back.
We are back. We are done with our break. We are rested up. What do you want to do? You want to talk you want to talk about the game? Me and cough. You want to talk about the games first, or do you want to talk about the giveaway first?
Let's talk about the games first. We'll save the giveaway for the end.
Okay.
So, a friend of ours said, hey, can you talk about budget-friendly games on the show?
So we solicited an idea. Well, yeah. I'll be honest. We were not sure what we wanted to talk about.
We solicited
an idea for the show, and our friend Spencer
came
up with an idea for the show, and it is budget-friendly games.
So we came up with a list of games under $20. We tried to diversify this list a little bit so it's not all one type of game.
Right.
I think we got a good list.
So the first game on this list is probably also one of the most expensive games on the list, yeah. And it is Machikoro Bright Lights Big City. Game retails for $30, but you can find it for $20 if you look for it on sale.
Okay.
Which is pretty good. We've talked a lot about Machikoro. Machikoro Bright Lights Big City it's kind of like a sequel to Machikoro, but it's still Machikoro.
Okay.
Right, so the original game came out, then the Harbor expansion, then the Millionaire's Row expansion, and then Bright Lights Big City came out, which is a different game, but it's still the core Machikoro rules.
Okay, so it's the same game at its core. They've just changed up some of the cards and stuff.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
That and makes sense.
It does include some of the rule variants, like the Harbor expansion does,
where you randomize the cards
instead of always having the same set of cards and therefore always having the same strategy.
So this Machikoro Bright Lights Big City would be a great way, a good budget friendly way to get into sort of the Euro style gaming. To a certain extent.
Euro style gaming tracks victory points. So technically it's not a Euro.
But
it is a game that everybody plays until the game is over. It's not a game where
everybody is involved every turn.
Right.
And everybody plays until the game is over.
Yes.
Yes.
So that's good.
The next game on our list is Sushi Go, which we've talked about plenty of times before.
Yep, we love Sushi Go.
It's got the neat mechanic of you take a card and then you pass your hand to the
card drafting game, kind of.
So it's sort of card drafting, not exactly.
So you take a card from your hand, you play it in front of you, you pass your hand to your left, you take the next set of cards from the person to your right, and you keep going and try to score the most points.
And then there's all the different kinds of cards score in different kinds of ways.
Yep. And it's all pictures of adorable sushi.
Yes.
I could really go for some sushi right now, actually. It's been a long time.
Well, not while we're recording.
Okay. Bummer.
So that's another good one. I checked around. It retails, tends to retail between $10 and $13, although I think the sticker price is 18 or 19. Nobody sells it for that.
Yep. Okay. We put this list together at like 9:30 at night, so we couldn't go to our friendly local game store. I recommend you go to your friendly local game store and you buy your games there to support them. These prices are from Amazon, so they're probably going to be a couple of bucks more at your FLGS, but go there anyway because they need your business.
These prices are from Amazon, but double checked at places like Walmart and Target.
Yeah.
Another one on our list we've talked about a whole lot this year is Codenames.
Yeah.
Codenames.
Right. Codenames. we have talked about it a lot. I think it was $15. It goes on sale for like $7.
Yeah.
I mean, it's become a commodity game.
Yeah.
So that's something that if you're thinking about picking it up as like an impulse buy, if it's more than $10, don't do it because it'll be less.
Yeah.
But if you're purposing to get it, then whatever.
Yeah. I'll say Codenames has got to be the most versatile game on this list because it can be a party game, it can be a two-player game, it can be played solo, it can do everything.
Mm-hmm.
So if you like the game, you will be able to play it a lot.
Right. And I don't know how much the other versions are, but there's
a little more, but not much.
A little bit more. There's one called Codename Pictures.
Yep.
Which is similar, except you're looking at pictures and you have to come up with a description.
And there's also a Codenames After Dark.
Yeah, and After Dark is when we remember how before when we were talking about adult games, we weren't talking about adult games.
This one is an adult game. Don't show your kids this game.
I'm not even recommending the game. Just get the other ones; they're better.
I wasn't recommending it either, just for the sake of completeness.
Sure.
In a different direction, Zombie Dice.
Such a dumb game. It's so great.
It's sort of Yahtzee-like, except simpler.
It's a press your luck dice rolling game.
Yeah. And it's simple. It's super easy to pick up. It's a fun twist on the zombie theme because you are a zombie. and you're looking to eat people.
And it's so cheap that Amazon has it as an add-on item. So.
Yes. Pretty much anywhere you find it, it should be under $10.
Oh, for sure.
Most places I looked online, it was 6 to 7.
Right. So the base game of Zombie Dice has 13 dice, and that's, it might have a score pad. It doesn't really need it. You can use a piece of paper.
Yeah.
There are two sequels. There's Zombie Dice 2, Zombie Dice 3. I think we actually own all of them, and it's just all in one container.
We have it all in one container.
But the expansions have less dice in them, but they still cost around $7 a piece.
Yeah. So
if you're really looking for a cheap
game, just get the base game.
Just get the base game. You'll have a lot of fun with it. It's any age can play this game as long as you're okay with them, and and the concept of zombies in general, I guess.
Yeah, our kindergartner was playing this game when he was, I think, 3, because he just thought it was funny to roll the dice and get brains.
Right.
And he didn't really understand the press your luck, but he would just roll and roll and roll, and sometimes that strategy works. Mm-hmm. So, it's cool. It's
like, buddy, I think really you should maybe take a
maybe,
break.
Maybe
now.
You should stop. Right. You got 2 shotgun blasts.
No,
more brains!
Good times. You know those really sweet home videos that you see, like, on This Is Us or whatever, where everybody's they're playing Monopoly or they're playing the game of life? We're like, brains!
Brains! back in a different direction again, we have Anomia, previously mentioned.
Yep, so there's two versions of Anomia. You can get one that has, like, 1 or 2 decks in it, which is cheap. It's $10 to $15, or you can get the Party Edition, which has 7 or 8 decks of cards in it.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous amount of cards.
It's a lot of cards, but you can mix them all up. Like, they don't have to stay separate. So if you want to get it on the cheap, you can. If you want to get a little bit more because you like it, maybe you played it somewhere and you want to have a lot of variety for a big group of people, you can totally do that too.
But as far as recommending budget games, honestly, with Anomia, you could even stick with, the 1 or 2 decks and be fine for many, many plays. And the stripped down version goes for about $13, I think. Another good card game, Monopoly Deal.
You love this game. One of my favorites. It's fine.
You know what?
It's all the good things about Monopoly, and none of the bad things about Monopoly, I guess.
Yeah. It's got the cutthroat nature without the boring waiting. And this is super cheap. It's probably the cheapest game on the list. I saw it for $5.
Yeah, it's a card game.
And that's not on crazy sale or anything.
Whatever.
You can get it anywhere. You can get it at Toys R Us. You can get it at Walmart, whatever.
The next game on the list is something a little bit different. It is something we talked about on the show before, and we had the game creator on the show.
Yes, we did.
Like a year and a half ago or something like that. This is a game called Hero Kids. So Hero Kids is neat because it's an RPG.
Yeah, so if you want a super budget-friendly, quick and easy, cheap way to get into role-playing games with your kids, Hero Kids is totally the way to go.
And we've played it with our kids, and they had a blast.
Yes.
So the way to get a game like Hero Kids, you go to drivethroughrpg.com. It's drivethru.rpg.com, and just search on there for Hero Kids. And the sort of the base rule book plus the adventure Basement O-Rats is $5, which is pretty cheap. And then you print it out. On your printer, I guess the ink probably costs more than the $5. and then there's little cutout guys that you can kind of cut them out and stand them up, and you can use them as little tokens, or if you have, minis from some game or something like that.
You could always use minis.
Those. But, it gives you the whole story. It has all the basic mechanics. You need a couple of 6-sided dice.
If you got kids like ours, you could use Lego Men as your minis.
Yeah, you could. I mean, any of those things would work. We actually went out. I went whole hog on this one. We bought a laminator just for this game because I'm dumb.
We've used it for other things since, but that was the driving force behind getting a laminator.
But hey, laminator also only $12. So
nice budget friendly option
but
there.
There's tons of dungeons, and there's like probably 20 different things that we actually gave away a set of them.
We did
on the show. Yep. There's probably 20 or 25 different dungeons, and they're all a couple of bucks a piece. It's a really great way to get your kids into role playing, but without having to buy like a $30 player's handbook or anything like that.
Yeah.
So it's nice. It's cheap. You can throw it in a folder and bring it somewhere.
One, it's nice that, unlike, say, a player's handbook, this gives you the visual components you want to mm-hmm. to keep play interesting.
Right.
So
we like that a lot. A lot of fun.
Yep.
And you know, there's other things too. There's all sorts of different kinds of well-known games like Tenzi.
Yep.
Or Tenzi's Pass the Pigs.
Yep. Pass the Pigs is super cheap and is small, and it's one of those games that's great to take anywhere.
Right. Yeah. And you can take it like to, we've taken it to restaurants before. It's a little self-contained thing. Then you also
there were people like, playing it when we were on that ski trip.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Oh cool. There's also games that are a little bit less well known, like Story Cubes. Like a set of Story Cubes is going to be about $8.
They're working on it, man. Yep.
But yeah.
Love Letter.
Yeah, a lot of those smaller options, micro games, stuff like that.
A lot of the micro and mini games we've talked about before.
A great budget option for you. So, yeah, that is a list of budget games that we felt like we could recommend. And now it is time.
Bum, bum, bum.
To give some stuff away.
Wow. We like giving stuff away.
Giving stuff away is fun. So this episode of The Family Gamers is sponsored by Bellwether Games. We had Dennis Hoyle on the show last week. And Dennis and us, Bellwether Games and us and we.
Bellwether Games and The Family Gamers.
And The Family Gamers. I have no grammatical skills this late in the evening. Are going to be giving away a Princess and the Goblin prize pack.
Yes.
So we are going to be giving away a copy of the game from Bellwether Games, The Princess and the Goblin, retail copy. Retails for, I don't know, some amount of money. And we're going to be giving away a copy of the book, The Princess and the Goblin, written by George MacDonald back in, what, 1876 or something like that?
1872, I think it was.
So, yeah, that's a 150-year-old book. We're not giving you a first printing, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm not giving you a 150-year-old copy. We're giving away a 10-year-old printing.
Right. But nonetheless, this is a really great opportunity for you to win a copy of the book and a copy of the game so you can read the book with your kids at night, play the game during the day, every day. No, not really. there you go. So the game, Princess and the Goblin of the Game, is $24.
Details for $24. So the value of the entire prize pack is about $30.
$30, $35, depending on which version of the book we pick.
Yeah.
So definitely please head over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/familygamersaa. That giveaway is going to start at midnight on Wednesday. So 12 o'clock a.m. Wednesday, February 7th?
8th.
Wednesday, February 8th. Once again, my wife is smarter than I am. At midnight, it's going to run for 2 weeks. Okay, so at 12.
So if this sounds interesting to you, get on it.
Don't put it off.
Don't put it off because this is going to go a lot shorter than our giveaways in the past.
Right. We are hosting the giveaway through Rafflecopter. So there's lots of different ways you can win. You can tweet. You can follow us. You can follow Bellwether Games. You can leave us a review on iTunes, that thing we always ask for.
Oh,
there's
please.
Lots of ways that you can get more entries to try to win this prize pack. And we are excited to be giving it away. And we are very thankful to Bellwether Games for helping to sponsor this giveaway on the show. So,
I think that's our show. How can you contact us, Andrew?
You can email us. You can get to me, Andrew@thefamilygamers.com.
Or me, Anitra@thefamilygamers.com.
You can find us on Facebook. I just mentioned this.
As we just mentioned,
Facebook.com/familygamersaa. You will see the contest there.
Yes.
You can find us on Twitter.
Twitter.com/familygamersaa. You'll probably see links about the contest there.
Absolutely. Yep. We'll have links to that. And Bellwether Games is also going to be tweeting out links to the contest as well. So if you follow them, you should see it on there also.
Yep.
Please go to our website.
Our website is great. Thefamilygamers.com. While you are there, you can find a link to review us on iTunes.
Yes, please leave us reviews on iTunes. Stars are good. Written reviews are better.
Yes, but really anything so that more people can find us. If you like us, you want more people to listen to us. The more people who listen to us, the more stuff we can give away.
Yep, that's totally true. I just like giving stuff away. I think it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
And I'd like to be able to do more of it, but somebody's got to pay for it. So, so that's kind of the economic reality we live in. But yeah, head over to iTunes. You can go to the podcast section, search for the Family Gamers Podcast. We should come right up. It's a blue meeple. It says Family Gamers Podcast right on it.
Or you can go to our website, thefamilygamers.com. There's a link to us on iTunes right there because I always have a hard time finding us on iTunes any other way.
All right. Awesome. Well, that's going to be it for us this week. We look forward to coming at you in a couple of weeks. And in the meantime, play games with your kids.